Professor Getz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, Joseph, how does cerebral palsy occur within those who are affected?
Cerebral palsy, it's really a name for a large group of disorders which are really typical by involvement of the movement. As such, cerebral palsies, and because of the etiology, were considered for many, many years to be a consequence of trauma during perinatal period. That's when the baby is born. And that's how we also assumed that that period was also critical for this group of disorders to actually develop.
Well, if they're a group of disorders, does that mean the decrease of children being born, the less number of children being born with cerebral palsy, that's only for certain disorders, or is it as a whole?
Yes, that's a very good question, Lachlan. That's like with, I worked for many years, I'm a geneticist, and I looked into causes of learning disabilities. So we work with autisms, we also work with epilepsies. Along the lines, they affect different other domains of our abilities. Cerebral palsies affect movements, and lately, about 6 years ago, we started to investigate the genetic causes of cerebral palsy because there was a clear indication that changes in our DNA, which are inborn, can contribute. So to answer your question, cerebral palsies are due to probably many different causes. And the fact that we have less and less babies born with cerebral palsy is fantastic news. We went through a similar improvement in less and less number of babies born with learning disabilities, or even with seizures, because we learned how not to drink alcohol during pregnancy, we learned how to avoid infection, trauma, malnutrition, so we can avoid all these environmental factors. The question is, what proportion of these causes is genetic, and intervention as the perinatal period, like cooling of the babies, is not necessarily going to help us to improve it further. So that's my research and our teams here and internationally and in Australia to look into these causes, which are potentially preventable, but are of slightly different kind than improvement at the time we realised that the baby may have a movement disorder.
Well, talking about interventions, what kind of interventions have evolved over the past decade that have contributed to this decrease?
It's really hard to put a finger on it, but clearly many interventions like cooling of the babies, the supplementation with like magnesium sulfate, perhaps helped greater medical care, really prompt response and recognition that there is a problem. Of course, help, and of course, the medication. It must have had a major impact to actually prevent more babies. One interesting thing is what actually did not prevent dramatically the number of babies born with cerebral palsies, for example, cesarean delivery. Of course, vaginal birth can be traumatic because the baby needs to go really through a very narrow opening to this world, and that can cause all sorts of problems. My children, four of them, almost each one of them had a complicated birth, as far as I can say from my perspective. So it's never simple. Cesarean deliveries were really the defensive action of the health to really try to minimize the risk of cerebral palsy, but that really did not necessarily happen. Cesarean deliveries increased multiple fold times, 6 to 8 fold times, but didn't really impact dramatically how many babies with cerebral palsy have been born over that period of time.
Right. Well, once a baby is born and throughout their lives, is there any treatments for the wide berth of disorders that under cerebral palsy?
Well, probably not really. We don't have the magic bullets. We haven't discovered the holy grail. Of course, stem cells. Many people talk about them. Many people undergo treatment with stem cells. And there is perhaps reported in the literature, there is some improvement. It's not dramatic, it's not a return to normality. I guess the challenge to find really the magic bullet, something which would work for many or majority, is in fact in the problem that we cannot identify, really pinpoint the finger what is causing cerebral palsy. We finding that genetically, probably maybe 40 to 50%. So up to one in two cases of cerebral palsies might be due to a genetic mutation, we can call it. This is something which was inherited from one or other parent, or something which has happened in the baby as it was conceived or soon after the baby was conceived. An error in DNA happened, which can give rise to a movement disorder, which presents itself as a cerebral palsy.
If you've just joined us on The Daily this morning, I'm joined by Professor Joseph Goetz from the University of Adelaide, talking about the Australian Cerebral Palsy Register report that just came out that says what it means for those affected by the condition. So, Professor Goetz, are there any other possible treatments being investigated for the future or that are in development?
Surely, just by looking at other disorders of development where believe cerebral palsies belong as neurodevelopmental disorders, we see many examples of early and precise diagnosis and subsequent intervention. So these can be disorders of the metabolism, so we can probably change the diet. We can intervene with specific drugs to really return the behavior of the cells to close to normality. But this is really more of a case-by-case basis. So we cannot be shooting at these individuals blindly and trialing different types of intervention without actually knowing what caused the problem. Stem cells are, of course, of great hope for everyone, and it's a great promise, and I hope and trust this will work also in disorders of cerebral palsies. But it's going to be really on a case-by-case basis, and that is why knowing the origin of this group of disorders is hugely important.
Going forward, do you think we can expect a further decrease of children being born with cerebral palsy over, say, the next decade?
I hope so. Cerebral palsy is clearly not just a genetic disorder. The genetic diagnosis really helps us only to stratify the cases of cerebral palsy between those which are due to genetic alteration and those which are really due to environmental insult, which can be the hypoxia, which can be the traumatic delivery. And these are really the areas where we, I believe, can find some improvements to help to prevent actually development and initiation of cerebral palsy. So I trust the rate will decrease, but sooner or later we will hit a number which can be one or so per thousand live birth, where we're going to need to deal with the causes and the origin of cerebral palsy slightly differently, because they might be genetic. And in that case, they might be preventable at the preconception screening for the parents, or they can be diagnosed very early in the development of the baby, that is at the age of 8 or 12 weeks, so when the baby is really very, very small.
Will be very exciting to see where treatment for it develops in the future. Professor Goetz, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much.